Welcome back, Binge Watchers fans. It's your boy, Johnny Spoiler. I'm here with my crew to announce our plans for this summer. That's right. It's the 5th Annual Horror Movie Festival Summer Slash, or Summer Slash 5. And let me tell you, we got some spine-chilling, bone-crunching, blood-curdling horror movies in store for you guys. From rediscovered classics like Girls' Night Out and Bloody Moon to a sunken double feature lineup with The Deep House and Underwater. We're going to review, discover, and recommend the best of the best in horror. And of course, we'll be spoiling the crap out of them too. But hey, that's what makes it fun, right? So get ready to scream, jump, and even puke a little. The Summer Slash 5 is coming in hot. And remember, folks, it's only a podcast. Just keep telling yourself that. It's only a podcast. It's only a podcast. Hey, it's only a podcast.
Jordan, did you know it's only a podcast? It's Summer Slash 5, folks. We've arrived. It's our summer horror movie marathon built into the podcast. You thought you were listening to Binge Watchers. I'm sorry. It's Summer Slash. You're going to have to deal with it. Guess what? May is coming to Blu-ray in the UK. A horror movie called May is coming to Blu-ray in the UK with 3 hours of brand new special features. We know about this movie, May. I think one of our buddies showed it to Jordan last year. And spoiler alert, her eye out. It's horrible. But you actually care about May a lot in the movie because, like, she's both the protagonist and the antagonist. It's kind of like a more of an internalized horror movie experience. And I don't remember what that actress went on to do, but she was, like, at the time, May was a pretty special little horror, like, indie horror movie, you know? But I'm excited for this. I'm going to get this Region 2. I'm going to get, well, word on the street is we're sending Jordan a Blu-ray player so she can play the stack of Blu-rays that she's received over the course of doing the podcast. But I think, like, if you get the right Blu-ray player, it unlocks, like, Region 2, which I think is, like, the UK, like, label region or whatever for podcasts. Ooh. Not for podcasts. What am I saying? I mean, for DVDs. You know what I mean? Like, for, each region has,
for,
like,
for Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Right.
It has, like, its own DVD. I don't know why they have to have regions. Everything should be unregioned. Maybe they're trying to cut down on piracy. I don't know. Other horror movie news. Yeah, usually it's home video headlines. No, this is just strictly horror movie stuff. Nothing else matters right now. They're finally doing Insidious 5, which I think is finally going to tell you the story of the Red Demon from, like, the first couple Insidiouses. So it'll be, you know, it'll be something for the whole family to scream about. You know, get the whole family together, sit down on a couch, watch Insidious 5. It's coming out, like, July 7th. You ever see The Nun, which is from, like, the same universe of, like, The Conjuring and all those other movies? Well, Nun 2.
I did. And I.
What do you think?
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. Yeah. I liked it. I mean, I'm down to see Nun 2. So.
Yeah, supposedly Nun 2 might be September. So we're finally getting some dates on, like, these 2023 horror movies that are supposed to come out. Disney remade The Haunted Mansion. I mean, there was probably nothing wrong with the one that Eddie Murphy was in, but they have another one coming out, like, July 28th. They stacked the cast. It's like a stacked cast.
Danny DeVito. Yeah. I mean, tons of people in it.
I got a list here. Check it out. Rosario Dawson, Jared Leto, Dan Levy, Tiffany Haddish, Owen Wilson. You dropped Danny DeVito already. Lakeith Stanfield, who people probably remember from, like, Atlanta. He's in this other twisted movie that I like, but he's a good actor. And then Renona Ryder, Jamie Lee Curtis. So, yes, they really stacked it. So, hopefully the plot's good. I mean, not just, like, stacking the cast just to have a bunch of A-listers, you know what I mean, in a mediocre movie. But I watched the preview, and, like, the ghosts look scary, like, consistently decomposing, more like the undead rather than, like, ghosts, you know? So it looks terrifying. We have a date for The Exorcist sequel, direct sequel to the original, October 13th. But we read a story, like, a couple episodes ago, and I think it was comicbook.com that reported it. I don't know. I'm not the source. I can't remember if they're actually the source, but if you disagree with the story, go beat somebody else up. Cause we didn't report it. We just, like, commented on it. They were saying there was, like, problems on the set or something, or the edit's not very good or whatever, but look, it's going to have original actress that played the mom, and it's going to have Linda Blair, who played the possessed girl. So, and Linda Blair is like an 80s horror movie star, so to have her back in a horror movie legit in the theaters for this fall should be pretty cool. I mean, that's pretty much it for horror movie headlines. Now, for Summer Slash, we try to go a little bit deeper than we usually dive into the regular movies on the show. The first movie out of the park is... Oh, I'm going to give a disclaimer because I want to say, like, most of these movies are not viewed ahead of tonight's show. So the selection is usually, like, if there was a video store, we would walk in, we'd go to the horror movie section, we'd grab a pile, we'd check out, we'd go home, we'd have a horror movie marathon, and you don't know what you're going to see until you pop it in and watch it. So for the most part, this lineup is first-time viewing for both of us, and we don't know what to expect. First movie out of the gate is Girls' Night Out. Some co-eds go on a scavenger hunt, and then a slasher who's dressed up as their school mascot, which is a bear, stalks them, slashes them, takes them out. What I know about the movie, Hal Holbrook, legendary screen actor, plays the sheriff. His son David Holbrook is Mike Pryor's. He'd get spurned by his girlfriend who cheats on him in the movie. But then we have a connection to another one of our episodes. He goes on in real life in his filmmaking career. He like is one of the editors on Vampire's Kiss. So that's interesting. An interesting tie-in for our show anyway, because we covered that movie, you know, about three or four episodes ago.
Yeah.
I like to tie it all in with a nice little bow. Julia Montgomery, she's featured in this movie, is one of the co-eds that's having to dance against the psychopath. She goes on to play Betty, which is probably her most famous role, I would think, in the Revenge of the Nerds movies. She's like idolized by one of the nerds and they hook up. There is some controversy about their hookup in the first movie or whatever, because he tricks her, pretends to be the boyfriend in a Darth Vader costume, and they're like, well, is that, you know, anyway. But we're not here to talk about Revenge of the Nerds controversy. We're here to talk about Girls' Night Out, how they're getting stalked by a giant teddy bear.
Took me a minute to figure out it was a bear. I was like, is this a raccoon? I don't know. But yeah.
Oh, just like a cheaply made bear costume?
Yeah, I liked his like crazy eyes. But yeah, savage stats. I think we've arrived. Yeah. So what I think is super cool is that the film's trailer was shot 2 years after the movie itself was. So it features scantily clad young women in bed talking about how weird things have been happening on the campus lately. So while short clips of the movie play, so they're talking about it while short clips.
Oh,
of the
so movie you're saying they hired actresses to talk about the movie as if it was an urban legend or something.
Right. Or completely separate. Right. I always think like, you know, this takes place on like a college campus, you know, so, you know, rumors are going wild and these girls are talking about these wild things that are happening, but those actual actresses never appear in the movies, which also is the same for the girls that were featured on the posters, video cassettes, or any part of the marketing was, so none of those girls that were featured in those things were actually in the movie for Girls' Night Out. So,
okay. So what do you think about that? Do you think like good marketing or do you think like a ripoff and it cheaps the audience out? Like,
no, I think it kind of like lends to the like scenery, right? It's about like a college campus, you know? And so it's like kind of creating the, like, I think it's crafty because then you're kind of creating this like, elusive thing that's been happening on the campus, right? Everybody's talking about it, but it's not about the actual people who it happened to. So I think it's kind of crafty. I like that. What about you? Do you
I guess a poster could be artistic, but it would be nice. It should include the actors in the movie. Like, it was just like, what movie was it? There was a movie they got in, like somebody sued a movie because things in trailer elements were not actually in the movie. That happened recently, actually. And I think the judge like leaned in and said, oh yeah, you have to deliver what you promise. And so that like has changed the stage. However, making a short film out of a trailer, that you could say that's really like that's like that's kind of different, right? Because they engineered a commercial to tell you about the movie with characters, right? So that's an intentional storytelling device. So I kind of want to like say that is kind of cool.
Yeah, for the trailer, right? It's like almost like this trailer was crafted to like have its own backstory about these girls talking about the creepy thing that's happening, which is the plot.
I feel like a lot of home video releases, like when the VHS stuff, they did that a lot. Like they introduced movies like, hey, we just made this movie last summer, blah, 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 blah. Check it out, you know, on like horror movie video magazines that they had. I know Full Moon did that all the time. Charles Band, who did these sleazy B-movie horror movies. Some of them I like. I mean, they're still making them. But he's the guy behind, like, Puppet Master, Dollman, Trancers, Evil Bong, Ginger Dead Man. You know what I mean? So it goes on and on, right? But they made an Eastern European vampire movie called Subspecies, which has, like, four parts, and they just made, like, another one. But he was, like, the king of, like, late 80s, early 90s, straight-to-video, like, schlockfest kind of cinema. He made enough money to keep making movies, but he would do that same thing. Like, so it would be, like, a video magazine. It would, like, introduce all the movies they're doing, what's coming out, and, like, give you little clips, but not necessarily the actors from the movies. It would be, like, him and his producers or whoever was there. Or whatever stacked Betty model happened to be, you know what I mean, in the studio at the time, would introduce some movie. I'm on board. I'm with you.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool. Guest star Hal Holbrook shot all of the scenes in one day. His footage was edited into the film to make it seem like he was interacting with other cast members. Though his footage was shot completely separately, with the exception of the nighttime crime scene. He never appears in the same frame shot with other actors or actresses. So,
see, I wouldn't have known because, like, they did such a good job cutting him into the movie. I had no idea until that was on the fact sheet. Like, yeah, didn't even know until I saw that trivia. I was like, oh man, ingenious.
And then there's a couple of different references to, of course, other movies that are actually said in the movie, but there's some more subtle ones, like Teddy Ratcliffe's costume from The Big Frat Party is supposed to be Marlon Brando's character from The Wild One back from 1953. I've never seen it, but I definitely want to now. Let's see.
I didn't catch any of those references, and I'm a movie guy. I didn't catch anything.
Well,
I
was like, they do the blatant ones, right? Like how the movie references, obviously, like Norman Bates from Psycho. Hmm. Which leads into, obviously, the plot of movie, which they find pretty...
Oh, I guess if you catch that reference, then it kind of almost could potentially spoil the big twist.
Well, maybe. And that's like, I didn't see it until later on in the movie when he goes to play back the tape that is coming from the radio station.
Yeah.
And you hear the murderer say on the tape that the twins are at it again or something.
I didn't like the tapes. I didn't like the killer calling into the radio station and recording the voice and then having the cops play it back and try to do their investigation. But I did like when the killer steals the mascot uniform, I did like him talking trash to the guy who was the mascot and then takes the costume. But I didn't necessarily like...
I'm going to need this more than you will. Yeah.
He's like, literally like, I'm going to need this more than you will. Yeah. Just like that. Just like the slasher voice, like classic. It's perfect.
Yeah. I definitely didn't see the twist until like the very end. But when Mac was like, obviously playing back the tapes and he was like going back and reading through old news articles about obviously like, What is his name? What's the murderer's name? I don't want to mess that up.
Oh, but, it's Katie and something Kavanaugh.
I wanted to say Kavanaugh, but I wasn't sure. So Kavanaugh, like going back to read his articles about him, like being arrested, and that's when he finds out.
I remember the sister's name. They're twins, folks. So that gives you any indication where the movie's Katie. Going. Yeah, they're supposed to be twins, and one of them was an insane asylum. And, yeah.
So thought that was
I actually managed to do my movie notebook this time. Oh, Dickie Kavanaugh. I wrote it down.
Dickie. Richard. Yeah.
The Kavanaughs.
Yeah, he goes by Dickie.
Yeah. I wrote stuff down this time.
The last good stat I think is interesting, which I'd like to watch because I'm a document, I love docus and docuseries and documentaries, but some of the eerie cello scores from the film was later used in the NOAA tornado documentary Terrible Tuesday. So I love it when scores are super scary.
They recycled the horror movie score and just dropped it into like a weather documentary?
They did. Yes, okay, about whatever. Tornadoes. So
you're just buying like sound bites.
Watch. Yeah. So
what's scarier, this movie or the tornado?
A tornado would freak me out.
That's the thing, huh? Did you ever see Twister?
Man. I did, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, are we at the bits now or?
Hot damn. We are at our favorite thrills, favorite kills, favorite bits. Yeah. We're at like, what do we love? I have a few pages of notes here, but that's why it's Summer Slash. We can take our time. So go ahead.
I would say that my favorite kill is probably, you don't like actually see the kill, but how creepy it looks after is when the whole scene where like Benson, the Ike Benson, which is really actually the murderer in the bear costume, like leaves the chapel, and then the girl goes in to see her friend, to meet her friend, and her friend is just dead and draped over.
So we need to back up and explain who Benson is real quick. So
Benson is
the mascot who was apparently also hung, but he also did his second cut. So like there's Mike Pryors, who's a guy who's spurned by his girlfriend, and in the beginning it established that the girlfriend is hooking up with the mascot guy, and they're also cousins, but the girlfriend who's creeped out by it goes, ew, and then she goes, don't worry, he's my second cousin. I'm just trying to keep the relationship straight in this movie for the audience, like, as they follow along, okay? That's all I had to interject.
It's hard to, like, not talk about the whole synopsis without, like, kind of ruining the plot, but I love how that does kind of follow some of the true like cardinal rules about slasher movies is that like obviously like morality and being like scandalous is a reason to get got, right? And that's essentially the whole
premise. There's like five friends in this movie and they're all trying to hook up with each other.
It's definitely like a clusterfuck of just hookups on a college campus, which makes sense, you know, it's a college campus. But yeah, I would say my favorite part is the end. I didn't know if I wanted to spoil it already because I don't know if it, like, do we dare to get into it?
I'm on the fence because the promise is if we love it, we have to spoil it, right? So, but
I feel okay. That's the rule.
Okay. Spoiler alert, the killer is the sister, the brother's dead. This girl had a nervous breakdown and she's both the twins in one body and she's out of her effing mind.
Dickie Kavanaugh actually did hang himself in the prison and then Katie Kavanaugh goes on to be the murderer and she is the one who's hunting down all these, you know, girls.
But she makes the
naughty
mascot,
girls on the campus.
She like gives the bear a real claw. So like he can just,
which
she just
I thought was
everything.
So cool.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Amazing.
She
like,
literally tapes these like steak knives together into this. Like,
so people are like, "Oh, Freddy Krueger ripoff." No, this is pre-Freddy. This is pre-Freddy Krueger movies.
And it was almost more like brass knuckles with like steak knives taped to it.
You're talking about horror movie rules, right? So a good horror movie generally gets to a kill in 10 minutes. This one got to like it was like 30. 13 minutes, The intensity of the first kill is so good, we can forgive that it's 2 minutes late on when they should get to a murder. The shovel death, just brutal. It's a blunt object shovel to take out the grave diggers who are supposed to be digging Dickie Kavanaugh's grave. And that's like the red herring. Like, that's to make us think that Dickie's running around, you know, like he didn't die, right?
Right.
But then the next kill doesn't come in for almost 30 minutes, so now you're kind of starting to lose me, right? But then
I wrote down...
Hal Holbrook's character, who's like he's like a cop or a sheriff or campus patrol. I'm not sure.
He's some a campus kind of patrol, like a campus security guard.
So he's not the sheriff. He's just a campus security guard that feels like he has the authority of the whole town, right?
Except for
because he's
whole...
calling in favors. He's calling in favors freaking everywhere from his little CB radio. But he says
and the whole town is like leaning on him for advice. Like,
yeah, exactly.
What should we do, Mac? And I'm like, how is he bouncing around everybody as a campus security.
Are you sure he's dead? Are you sure he's dead? Like, wrote that down. Direct quote. Are you sure he's dead?
Well, and we gotta explain why Mac is important, I feel like, to this movie.
Oh, he was around during the original. His girlfriend got killed by Dickie, right? Like, because Dickie was a...
It's his daughter, right? His daughter got killed by Dickie, I think.
Yeah, he was related to somebody, one of the co-eds, but I thought it was during, like, the first series of... Because Dickie did commit some murders, is that right? Did I miss that, or is that correct?
Well, we don't know if that's correct. It could have been Katie the whole time, right? Because she's got this like personality disorder where she pretends to be her brother.
Oh, you're so right. So he could have been just a schlub.
Innocent bystander. Yeah, he could have
gone to prison.
Oh, he could have gone to prison.
My favorite part of this movie is like not just the shocking twist. Okay, first of all, you've seen Twisted Twins. Like, we were making jokes about Twisted Twins in our own fake horror movie like about four episodes ago, making jokes about murder twins. However, I did not see them. I didn't think they were going to pull the twin card in this. I didn't see the twin card coming in this movie. It went right past me. And so, you know, I've seen a bunch of horror movies and they got me. And then, but it actually has a very unsettling, un-horror movie-like ending. Like, there's no clear, we don't know if campus security guard is going to stop the killer or not. We don't know if the hero basketball player is alive. We don't know if it's not his girlfriend, but it's the girl he wanted to hook up with. We don't know if she's alive. Whatever. So it's like the final girl and the BF. And we don't know because he gets stabbed and she's already bleeding, but they're not dead. And then like the showdown with Hal Holbrook's character, security guard, can't miss their campus. Like it just cuts to black, yo. It just rolls to black. And so we're left with like, in theory, she could have killed all three of them and goes right into a sequel. You never know.
Right.
It's going to be easy to rate this movie for me. I think it's obvious which way I'm leaning. Because it did dip. Part of the movie, it dipped. But then it came back up with that killer ending. Right. So,
agreed. I kind of went like this. Because like I didn't really remember, obviously, like the gravediggers being killed by the shovel. So yeah. I was like waiting for the murderer's first real murder. And I was like, oh, dang, we're like 30 minutes into this. When's like the killing actually?
Well, that's the
begin?
One promise from the poster you want the movie to live up to is like killing people with the mascot suit with the claws. Yeah. I mean, if they hadn't delivered on that, I would have disagreed with your marketing ploy in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, like that, it wouldn't have worked. Usually we say binge now, binge later, binge never, which means watch it now, watch it later, or don't waste your time. However, because it's Summer Slash, we're going Scream Now, Scream Later, or Scream Never. Is it going to give you the frights? Will it give you the chills later? Or who cares? Lukewarm, whatever.
For me, it was a Scream Now. I feel like even the more that I like think about it and the possibility of like maybe Dickie Kavanaugh never actually committing a crime, like it's possible he just went to jail for a crime that his sister committed, and maybe that's why he hung himself. And then Katie goes on this like murderous rampage of killing a bunch of co-eds. Who really knows? But I don't know.
I don't know if it's just like the innocent way you said it, or just like with the savage twang that you got, or like just the idea that that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, just going to go around killing the co-eds.
Yeah. Well, and then, like, we don't really know what happens at the end, too, which I'm, like, also down with. And isn't that, like, also another cardinal rule of, like, you know, slasher movies is that, like, you never really know if they die or not. And so I'm okay.
Well, I mean, they call it the turn. They actually created, like, a psychological supernatural reason for why a murderer can come back from the grave. It's called the turn. It's like when an ordinary killer in a horror movie makes like a supernatural leap. Like they were alive, they killed, but they were still mortal. And then something happens and that's the turn. And now they're aided by like supernatural forces to continue their killing spree on into whatever.
Which applies to Katie Kavanaugh because she's obviously got multiple personalities. Like maybe that's kind of the thing that's leaning her over to more like supernatural, but Scream Now for me. What about you? What are you rating it?
My nose is running. I rated it. It was dipping in the middle. It was starting to dip and then it brought me back in. So it was like almost going to be a Scream Later, but then because of these twists and because of like a very staunch ending that like, I mean, I heard like they had very little time to shoot the movie because they're on a real college campus and like they had a lack of resources, lack of time. And maybe that lends to the ending. However, it looks like such a conscious choice. Like I want to give the filmmakers credit. And I'm like, maybe imagining that they decided to do this ending. Like, there's no technical reason why they did it. And they, it's a very bold story choice to cut to black without resolving the story, you know?
Right.
Like, not telling us what happens. And that's eerie. That's, like, terror. It's, like, actually scary. You go, like, wait a minute. Like, usually they wrap this up. The killer dies. The movie's over. Or they're going to get away. And then there's, like, a final jump scare. You know what I mean? And they kill again. Or, you know, like. So just leaving us in the dark, is literally leaving us in the dark, is like a pretty smart ending. And this movie had like gotten dusty and disappeared, and then like, you know, got brought back. So now people are talking about it, and I had never come across it before, really, and then had seen the poster. Now I also had the image that like is on the new restored DVDs or whatever, with like the crazy curly eyes and the bear and like the hand coming through the window, which that part's actually in the movie. Like on the new like cover art, like, cause there's that one girl, she thinks she's about to hook up with the mascot, and then the thing comes through the window and gets her with the claws. And they must be, it's gotta be like Ginsu knives or something. Some of those Japanese imported knives. Cause like, I mean, they were dropping blood like within seconds of touching flesh. So, it's pretty hardcore. You just feel like a cheese grater. You ever slip and like get yourself on a razor or a cheese grater? That's what it looks like.
Ah, gross.
Yeah. There you go, folks. Week one. Oh, fan service. What can I say? Oh, wait. We already said. Send us your what's your favorite horror movie videos and you win some prizes. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm being a super goofball on Instagram, obviously. But then when you get like, I don't know. I guess I'm a gay icon in South Miami Beach. That's all I can say. Because it's like, it's always dudes. They're always like, I'm getting lost in his eyes. Oh, thanks, man.
I love it.
Thanks. Buy a t-shirt. You know what? Buy the Summer Slash t-shirt. Man. Oh, I love the comments where they don't understand it's a joke. They're like, what is this ad about? Exactly. What is this ad about? You know? That's it for fan service. Not much else going on, except for like send us your videos and then we'll put them in the show. If we watch staff picks, if we watch something else besides the horror movie of the week, what did we watch and what did we think about it? I know that Jordan saw a comedy in the movie theaters.
I did. I don't know
if she's going to talk about that or talk about something else. Party.
I am going to talk about it. Yeah, I went and saw two movies in the theaters this weekend. I will talk about one of them. I, of course, went and saw The Machine. It was really funny. It took me a little bit to get warmed up, but I thought it was pretty action-packed, and it was really funny, and we laughed a lot, and yeah, it was super good. Watching Mark Hamill play this, like, kind of crazy dad who ends up doing some drugs in the end, and it was funny to watch.
Like a wild version of Mark Hamill.
Hilarious.
Yeah, Bert Kreischer, he's funny, but he's like I wanted his movie just to be about the machine experience he had in his 20s or whatever, you know what I mean? Like he went to Russia and was on the train and got robbed and was hanging out with the mafia. But
he wouldn't be able to be in it because he's like old now. He's older, so I think they did kind of a good job of like going back to his youth and like bringing like little bits of like what he was remembering about his experience of going to Russia. Yeah. And being the machine into like the current storyline. So I thought it was funny. I definitely, I was like, okay, I don't know if we're really going to be loving this so much, like within the first 15 minutes, but I think it kind of ended up pulling through in the end to be definitely something that was worth watching. Also, you can't find it everywhere, at least not where I'm at. Like, I know it's only being played in certain theaters. So I don't know why the reason is behind that, but yeah.
So, I thought that one had a wide release. I didn't realize that.
Worth watch. Yeah, there was only like two theaters within like 50 miles of where I'm at that were playing it. So, at least, yeah.
So, what do you say? What do you say to the people? Go buy a ticket. So is it funny enough to go buy a ticket?
Yeah, it was. It definitely was. Keep in mind, I go and see all sorts of movies in the theaters. Mm-hmm. I just like it for the experience. So I. always have low expectations of like the movie itself because I'm just really there for the experience. So if you're somebody who's like that, you're going to enjoy anything and going to spend your money on a ticket. So
it's like the movie going equivalency of a bologna sandwich.
I don't know what that means, but
well, okay. So most people categorically say like bologna shunned. They don't like bologna, but then some of us eat bologna no matter what. And like, we'll constantly go back for a bologna sandwich. So you said like your bar for movies in the theater is really low. So you're basically like metaphorically a bologna sandwich eater of movies in the theater. So,
I am exactly a bologna sandwich of movie theater goers.
That was a long tail metaphor, folks. That was a hard. That was not an easy simile to dissect, I guess.
I am so glad that you explained it to me because I feel exactly like that. Absolutely. I'm a bologna sandwich.
What the hell with you, John? You called me a bologna sandwich eater? I love bologna.
Yeah. Did you
take that
anything?
As you will.
Yeah, right? Did you watch anything that's not what we watched?
Yeah,
you
know? I watched Crazy Heart, which I think I watch this movie once a year. Honest, I think I do annually watch this singing cowboy movie with Jeff Bridges. He's like a broken down 1970s.
I love Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, he's like a Western singer from the 70s or 80s, and like his tours are just enough to get gas in his tank and get to the next town. And then like, but there's a famous singer named Tommy Sweet, played by Colin Farrell, and Colin Farrell doesn't write his own songs. Jeff Bridges' character, Bad Blake, writes all of his songs. So, like, Colin Farrell's, like, getting really exhausted, too. They're both at kind of a point where they're both exhausted. Like, Jeff Bridges' character is tired of being on the road, and then Colin Farrell is, like, needs new material. And so it's, like, whether they can reconcile their relationship or not. But also, Bad Blake is estranged from his son. He doesn't really know. And then, like, he's trying to get over his alcoholism and meets Maggie Gyllenhaal, who's, like, a reporter that, like, kind of falls in love with him, and they kind of have, like, a fling. I must feel like a crazy heart myself or something. Like I said, like, I watch this movie every year, right, to console myself or something. I will watch this movie, like, once a year. It's an annual watch. There's maybe, like, 20 movies that I have to watch that I watch every year. They're on, like, on my repeat, rinse and repeat list or something, you know? Like
watch. Sometimes you need those.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did watch a Shameless screening though. So.
Oh, okay. To remind everybody, she's trying to squeeze. She's trying to.
I will
wedge this segment. She's trying to push this segment back in. Trying to just shove this thing back into the show where she's supposed to have seen classic movies. She doesn't watch classic movies. So then we gotta make fun of her. And shame her and swing the bell like in Game of Thrones. Shame, 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 shame.
Exactly.
And then she can tell us about the movie.
Steel Magnolias.
Is that where the girl's going to die? It's about the women. They're like the friends.
Dolly Parton, Julia Roberts, Sally Field. Oh, my God. It was one of those cathartic cries where I just like lay in my bed holding my own hands. Chest is wet from all the tears, and that felt really good. So, anyways, that was short. That was a short bit.
So, if you want to take it a step further, go watch Terms of Endearment.
Okay.
With Deborah Winger.
Okay.
All right. Or Mystic Pizza. Both of those movies.
Okay.
Folks, we're going to deliver these watch parties. Don't get me wrong. We're going to find a day where we can get drunk and watch these romantic comedies. It's going to happen. You're going to buy a ticket. You're going to watch the movie with us. It probably won't be Steel Magnolias, but it might be The Lake House. Pushing pretty hard for The Lake House.
Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. Keanu Reeves.
I love her.
Time travel, romance, and time travel. And a lake house. Not to spoiler alert, the movie has a lake house. Let's see. Oh, thanks everybody. You know, comment on the YouTubes, sub on the YouTubes. If you like listening instead of watching, click on your iTunes or your Spotify or wherever else you are. What's going on next week? Summer Slash will continue for week 2. The next movie in the lineup is called Bloody Moon, which is infamous for a sawmill death scene. This is another movie that was in pieces, and then somebody cut it back together to get it re-released or something like that. And now it's available on Arrow Video. They put out these schlocky B-movie, horror movie, cult cinema, folks, cult movies. So yeah, they're more like a grindhouse distributor, but however, that's where we're finding some of the lineup for this year. So next week is Bloody Moon. Is it wrong to be excited about what happens in a sawmill? I don't know. Moviegoers, we'll find out.
I'm so ready for the sawmill. Yeah.
Even the outro song is scary. It's not Binge Watchers at all. It's total summer slashy.
I was getting the chills with the intro.
Yeah. This episode is so dangerous, it might have been what cut the piece out of her tank top.
It did. It took a whole bite
Cut the little triangle out. The bear mascot's on the loose.
Yes.